I want to thank you, Brother Smith, for leading us in songs on this afternoon. I didn't notice until as you were singing that when you're solo singing, leading the congregation on the conference call, is your voice and your voice alone. And I want to just thank you for the manner in which you led us and the voice itself. Want to commend you on that. I want to also thank all the brothers that have participated thus far in the various parts of our worship service on this afternoon. I want to thank those first that are visiting with us. One, those that are not Christians, not members of the Church of Christ. We want to let you know that you are our VIPs, very important persons. And we would not be doing proper if we didn't extend and share in simplicity what God has required for you to do in order to become a Christian. And I would do that at the close of this message. Also want to thank all those that may not worship, assemble with us when we are at the building at Highland Heights and you are visiting with us from various places throughout the state of Texas and also other states. We want to extend a hearty welcome from the Highland Heights Church of Christ to you. And then to our family, those that are members and worship and serve at the Highland Heights congregation, we want to extend a welcome to you. Thank you for being with us on this afternoon. For our afternoon worship service, we want to thank you again for just being with us. As I said on last week, we are, myself and Brother Brooks, are trying to feed the congregation, the whole counsel of God, and those that have been with us in the morning and the a.m., Brother Brooks is continuing his study, showing the Acts of the Apostles and how the Acts of the Apostles added those to the church. And then also it shows the development or the growth of the church and the challenges that the church met in its infancy. And on the afternoon, I have selected the letter, the first letter that Peter wrote to share with us of those things regarding those of us that are Christians, what Peter had penned that he was inspired to write by the Holy Spirit to share with those that were Christians. He said they were strangers scattered throughout Asia Minor as it relates to living as a Christian. And so on last week, we looked at the trial of your faith, looking at three levels of faith that Jesus identified in the Word of God, and we shared that with you on last week. And on today, we want to speak from the subject. Thank the brother that read scriptures on this afternoon. And the subject is entitled from the text, "So be ye holy in all manner of conversation." So be ye holy, Peter told them, in all manner of conversation, conversation being a behavior. So this afternoon, I want to discuss from the Bible the necessity of living as a Christian. And we'll find from the text those areas of challenges that one faced as a Christian. But again, Peter admonishes us to so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And so we'll pick up where we ended on last Sunday in verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter said, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Peter shared with them that the fulfillment of your faith is the salvation of your souls. In other words, salvation is the goal of faith. Your faith is what you have, and that is it. When it is fulfilled, then you have salvation of your souls. And he spoke a little bit more about salvation. He said, of which salvation the prophets have inquired or seeked after and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. He says, verse 11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify or give evidence when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. Brother Brooks shared this morning, go back and meet with me in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, because he said this morning of the fact that we need to be reminded of the fact that Christ suffered for us, and it was prophesied by Isaiah in the 53rd chapter, and we'll look at verse number 5, 53 and verse number 5, because Peter makes reference to the suffering when he testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ. And so Isaiah, when he wrote in Isaiah 53, verse number 5, he says, but he, talking about Christ, was wounded for our transgressions. He also was bruised for our iniquities. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was upon him. In other words, the reason we had peace was because of the chastisement that was upon Christ. And then Isaiah says, and with his stripes, we are healed. It took the suffering of Christ that allowed us to be healed spiritually. And so Peter reminded them, if you go back to 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to keep in our mind that as we live in this life, we want it to become entrenched in our heart, the fact that Christ suffered for our sins. And Peter says and also the glory that should follow. He says in verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, Peter said, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost that was sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. So he said it has been revealed, it has been made known through divine inspiration, through the apostles, the things that were given by the Holy Spirit, that they preached the gospel. And those of us that have become Christians, it's because of the fact we have heard the gospel. And we'll extend that invitation for those that are on the call this afternoon, and you may not be a Christian. You have to first hear the gospel. You have to believe the gospel, and then repent of one's sins. You will make the confession, or must make the confession, that we find in Acts 8:37, that when one believed that Jesus was the Son of God, he made the confession, the eunuch did, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Those things are to take place, and we'll share that at the end, before one is water baptized for the remission of sins. And then so Peter tells them in verse 13, he says, wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, Then he tells them to be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, when Christ is revealed. So he says to them, the word gird, if you can think back to those times during the first century, they wore things more so like gowns. And what he said to them was to gird up your loins. But he was saying, what they would do was to wrap themselves up so they wouldn't allow their, if it be gowns, to trip them up. So you had to gird it up. And so what he was saying, but the girding here is the loins of your mind. In other words, you ought to tighten up things that could slow down your progress as a Christian on your way toward heaven. Tighten it up. He says, the loins of your mind. How do I do that, Peter? Peter said, you have to be sober. Key word, to be sober. And then he says, to hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let's look at, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's address what Peter is saying to them about girding up the loins of your mind. And then he says, key word, he says, to be sober. And Paul's first Thessalonians, first letter to Thessalonians, in chapter 5 and verse number 5, Paul wrote, ye are children of the light. Ye are children of the light. And that goes with what John wrote in his first letter of John, where he told them that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he said, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So going back to Thessalonian letter, Paul told them that you are the children of light and the children of the day. He said to them, we are not of the night, nor of darkness. He says, therefore, let us not sleep. Now, he's talking about from the sleep here is when we are, one is spiritually asleep, you're not aware of spiritual things. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But notice what he says, but let us watch and be sober. And let me define what sober means that Peter used, same meaning. The Greek word, for those that are students that like to look things up, the Greek spelling for the word is N-E-P-H-O. N-E-P-H-O. And the word means, sober means, to be free from the influence of intoxicants, such as alcoholic drinks or drugs that affect one's spiritual state. Remember now, Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. You can't allow yourself to be influenced by anything that will alter your mental state. And then he says, for they that sleep in the night. He's talking about now about natural sleep. For they that sleep, what we sleep in the night. He said, but they that be drunken are drunken in the night. And the word drunken here means to be intoxicated, which is to be affected by alcohol or drugs. You know, they call it now, you was arrested a DWI, or you a DUI. You know, DWI stands for driving while impaired. You should be not operating anything while you are impaired. And then he says DUI is driving under the influence. Let me say this, be clear. No Christian should be drinking any alcoholic drinks or using any drugs not prescribed to you by a doctor. Yeah. We are to be sober. You know, we know that, you know, we tell people sometimes, man, you need to sober up. Yeah. You're not sobriety, not under the influence. So as a Christian, we need, this is Christian living we're talking about now. We are the children of light. We are the children of day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. We are not those that are drunken, are influenced, are affected by alcoholic beverages. No, why? Because we are the children of God. We are the children of light. When we became Christians, as Peter going to say, go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and notice how Peter expands on this thought in 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 14. So again, Peter said that you gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. Don't allow yourself to get involved in drugs as a Christian, or drinking as a Christian. And then he says, as obedient children, in other words, Peter saying, and because he said that in verse number 2, that unto obedience in the sprinkling of the blood of Christ, he said, you was obedient once when you obeyed the gospel. You have to be obedient to the gospel. You heard the gospel. I'm talking to those that are Christian now. You heard the gospel. You was obedient to the gospel message, and you were water baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. He said, now notice this here. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Yeah, now, fashioning comes from the word, look at Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Because the word means to conform in Romans chapter 12. And the verse is number 2, where Paul told them, and be not conformed or be not fashioned to the world. We don't conform ourselves. We don't act like the world. We don't do the things that the world do. He says in verse number 2, but be ye transformed. You got to make a change. How will I do that, Paul? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I got to renew my mind. Why, Peter? Go back to Peter, verse 14, and Peter tells us, he says, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, we don't conform to the manner of life that is before us, nor that we live. Christians should not participate in those things that we know that are not pleasing, that's not acceptable. That's not good. That's not acceptable. The word acceptable means pleasing in the eyesight of the Lord. We are not, he says, according to the former lust in your ignorance. In other words, we're talking about all of us had behaviors before we became Christians. That's former lust in your ignorance. You may have done it ignorantly. There may have been things that I did socially that I thought was enjoyable or pleasurable to do. Now I need to learn what living as a Christian is about. And living as a Christian, I don't social drink. I don't recreationally drink. I don't drink because I am a children of the day. I am a child of the light, not of darkness. I'm not one to become drunken. I'm not one that allow myself to be influenced. And notice the definition again to those that look at the word sober. It means to be free from the influence of intoxicants. Yeah. And then he says in verse number 15, but as he which has called you is holy, he says, so be ye holy, and here's my title, in all manner, not some manner, but in all manner of conversation. Yeah, so the word be here means to become holy. Yeah, and holy here is the way of life predetermined by God for Christians. Because he said, be ye holy. God has already predetermined how a Christian ought to live. Some call it a resultant state, R-E-S-U-L-T-A-N-T. Resultant means the result of having the word of God in you and living accordingly. That's the state that you live in. Yeah. He says, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He said, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. How am I to live as a Christian? Peter said it. Be ye holy. Why? Because God said in Leviticus 11, 44, 45, in the Old Testament, God told them then, I am holy. And he said to them, to be ye holy. Well, what is meant by so be ye holy in all manner of conversation? Let's read the scripture. In 1 Thessalonians, go back to the Thessalonian letter. Paul, I think, does an excellent job of defining what holy meant in the text, and we'll see and explain how the word is used in the text. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll begin at verse number 1. What is meant by, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation? Paul wrote, furthermore, then, Paul said, we beseech you, I beg you, brethren. And not only that, we're trying to exhort or encourage you, how? By the Lord Jesus. That as you have received of us how you ought to walk, and walk means to live, and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So as a Christian, there's a certain way that we live, a certain way that we walk, and our walk, as Paul told them, I walk to please God. He said, so ye would abound or grow more and more. Then Paul said, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. We talked about on Friday night, those that were able to listen on the call, we talked about how New Testament commandments that God gives. One is a direct command, a statement from God. And number two, we have an approved example from the apostles of Christ. And number three, we have what is called necessary conclusions or inferences. And so we find when we were worshiping together, you'll find how do we worship God? We worship God based on the example that we find in the New Testament. That were examples of the apostles on how to worship God. We simply sing. We don't bass mic and make audible sounds. We sing when we worship God. You got to know what the commandments Paul said that we gave, and that's why we are giving you. It's our responsibility, Brother Brooks, and my responsibility that we teach you the whole counsel of God So you'll know what the Word of God says when you go out there. You also should be studying for yourself. But we try to preach from the pulpit, as I'm doing this afternoon, letting you know when you go out there what the Word of God says. What the Word of God says. So Paul said, for this is the will of God. What's the will of God, Paul? Even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication. Now, Brother Brooks shared it this morning, and I went and did my research this afternoon where, notice now, the Bible says you abstain from fornication. Let me define fornication, because if you're not careful, you keep, as Webster keep moving forward, you'll find that you lose the definition of what fornication is. Fornication, according to the Word of God, where you get the word pornography from, it is unlawful, sexual, intercourse, any type of intercourse sexually that is not approved by God is unlawful. It's unlawful. It's unlawful. Yeah. Any type of intercourse between male and female, between male and male, between female and female, it is unlawful and sinful in the sight of God. I was about to say, just this week, Pope Francis, and this is why you have to make sure you know what the Word of God teaches, because to my understanding, Catholicism is the largest denomination in the world, where their leader came out this week. Pope Francis endorsed same-sex civil union. It says Pope Francis became the first pope to endorse same-sex civil unions in a documentary he did. It says Francis endorsed civil unions for gay couples as an alternative to same-sex marriages. Well, I won't say same-sex marriages. I'll use the word, you can have a civil union. Yeah, he did a documentary. And he said, in the article I'm reading, it said it was to create an equivalence to marriage. Yeah, you can have someone of the same sex in a union with you, and it gives you the equivalence of being married. And it says one of the main characters in the documentary, won't name the person, was a survivor of clergy sexual abuse whom Francis initially discredited during a 2018 visit when he went to Chile. And this person is gay. And Pope Francis assured him that God made him gay. God did. God made him gay. It's not you. It's not you. God made him gay. And so we see that, what your point was, now, you have to be careful, because people will do things or say things that they will try to allow you to live. And I think the article said that, it said, listen, when you are the Vatican, the only way to achieve something is to break the rule and then to say, I'm sorry. Then to say that I'm sorry. Fornication is sin, no matter how man try to clean it up. And even in the church sometimes, we try to find people that would justify behaviors that we want to participate in. But notice, go back to the Bible. Go back to the Bible. Paul said, what's my responsibility, Paul? That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. In other words, Brother Stroud has to learn how to control himself. That's my responsibility, how I do it, through the commandments of God. I'm obedient to the commandments of God. It allows me to control my body. Vessel in this text means represents the body. He says, in sanctification and in honor. In sanctification and holiness is the same Greek word. So when you see the word holiness, as I'll show you in the text, it means sanctification. And that means the separation of the Christian from evil or bad things or bad ways. That's what it means. What does it mean to be holy? Holy means I grow to separate myself from those things that are bad, those things that are evil, and those ways. Some of us may have ways that are not proper. Even as a Christian, you have to learn to separate yourself from those things. And then Peter said not only to have sanctification, but he said also honor. And honor in the text means to have respect with high moral standards of behavior. There are certain things as a Christian that I don't do. There are certain things as a Christian that I don't wear. There are certain places that I'm as a Christian I don't go. Why? Because I have high moral standards. I try to live, Paul said, with honor. Then he says, not in the lust of your concupiscence. In other words, that word means I don't allow my lust to rule me. He says, even as the Gentile, which know not God. There are those out there that are living, and if we're not careful, you can pattern yourself after the world. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, he said, be not conformed to the world. As a Christian, I can't do the same thing that the world does. I don't behave as the world. Why? Because the commandment for me is to be ye holy. God said, as I am holy. He says then that no man go beyond and defraud his brother, he said, in any matter. Why? Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you, Paul said, and we testify to you. And then he tells them, for God has not called us to uncleanness. That's the life many of us live before we obeyed the Lord. He said, God has not called us to continue to live unclean, to continue to cuss, to continue to drink, to continue to smoke, to continue to commit fornication. He said, but God has called us unto holiness, which is sanctification. So those are the things Paul talks about. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I am to work on myself. I am to read the Word of God. I am to understand that the former lust that I had in my ignorance, now I need to learn what the will of God is. And as Peter told them, for you know what commandments we gave you. We are giving you the commands of God. It is your responsibility to work and learn, as Peter said, to possess your vessel. Yeah, sometimes for some of that may be a lifetime challenge. However, that's where Peter said that so be ye holy, mean to become holy in all manner of conversation. He said, because it is written in the Word of God. Whenever you find in the Word of God something written a second time, God is putting emphasis on what he is saying. That's why Jesus sometimes, in certain statements, he would say, truly, truly, you need to get this. Verily, verily, you need to get this. And so here he says, Be ye holy. Why? For I am holy. He said that in the Old Testament. God was holy back then, and his command is for us to live a holy life. So my encouragement for those of us today, that we take the Word of God, study the Word of God, and make the application. We talked about again on last week about how it's about your faith that you need to have. But also now we need to work on behavior. The word conversation means behavior, how you carry yourself, how you conduct yourself. Are you conducting yourself as a Christian, or will you be a Christian as long as nobody don't mess with you? And do we do as some say, don't have me to put down my religion. No, you need to keep your religion. Yeah. And you need to wear it well and do the things that God has commanded all of us to do. And so if you're on the call tonight, that's my message this afternoon. So be ye holy, talking to myself first, in all manner of conversation. Those areas that you know that are not pleasing to God that you are participating in, it is your responsibility as you learn better to do better. And there are some things that you don't need book, chapter, and verse. You know when you're wrong. Yeah. And if you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, stay in the Peter in the letter. Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse number 18, how does one become holy and a Christian, a child of God? Well, that's my responsibility, to share with you the commands of God. That you can be, right now you are not holy, but you can become holy. You can become a Christian, a child of God. That begins with understanding verse number 18 of 1 Peter chapter 3. He said, for Christ also has once suffered for sin. And I talked about in Isaiah 53 and 5 how Christ suffered for our sins. The Bible says he was nailed to a cross, and he was up there for 6 hours. Until he died, and they took him down, and they buried him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he rose again, according to the scriptures. The Bible says he was the just that died and suffered for the unjust. Why he did it? He did it that he might bring us to God, that he may allow us to be holy again. He was put to death in the flesh, but he was made alive again in the spirit. And then the Bible says in verse 21, the life figure, talking about water, he said there was 8 souls, we said on Friday night, that Noah was saved by water. A Christian is not saved by water. However, water is a part of the, is an element in one's salvation. He says the life figure, whereunto even baptism. Baptism is not just water. Baptism includes the blood of Christ, Revelation 1 and 5. By faith, the blood of Christ is in the water, because it's the blood of Christ, according to Revelation 1:5, that washes away your sins. It's not the water, it's the blood. You are buried in the water, but it's the blood of Christ that washes away your sins. He said, even baptism doeth also now. When, Paul, Peter, he says, it now save us. And it's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not the same reason that you take a bath. He said, but it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. What is a good conscience toward God? A good conscience toward God is when you keep the commandments of God. That's a good conscience toward God. He said it is by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and knowing that when you are baptized, you are saved by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose from the dead, it gave us the opportunity to be saved from our sins. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And we find that in Romans, that I meet to a close, in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 3. Paul reminded them of what they had done. He said, know ye not, Romans 6 and 3, that so many of us, as were noticed now, baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. When Christ died on the cross, according to John 19:34, when a soldier pierced him in the side, out came two elements, blood and water. When you die to sin, that Jesus died for sin, There must be water and also blood. The blood is there by faith. Then Paul said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that life as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should now walk in the newness of life. Now you have a new life in Christ. You can walk new now, newness in Christ. You've been changed from, you repent of your sins, you make the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're water baptized, you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then the Lord will add you to the only church you can find in the Bible, the Church of Christ. I thank you very much for your patience on this afternoon as I share with us again. We're continuing to talk about living as a Christian. Thank you very much.